Okay, today is the 27th of April 2009. I'm here with Katlos Kipiani, currently the Chief of Staff at the Constitutional Court of Georgia. And before we get into the specifics about civil service reform, I wonder if you could describe the role that you've played in civil service reform in Georgia, just very briefly in a minute or two.
Okay, so when you talk on the reform exercises that are being undertaken in Georgia, we should be aware that we could split these reform exercises into two parts. First, that there were a number of attempts made during the government of Shevardnadze. And the second phase we can classify as being under the supervision of the government of Saakashvili. So, a very brief history regarding initiation of the civil service reform. You know that during 91 and 92, there was a civil war in Georgia, and it was followed by war in so-called South Ossetia and Abkhazia. And you know the whole strategic issue agenda of the government was not very much in favor of, let's say, civil service reform, because there were a number of problems at the moment where needed to be addressed in a very short run. So, and the civil service reform idea evolved time by time, time by time. When in 1995 there was a civil service division established within President's Chancellery. By the time we had President's Chancellery office under President, and you know, civil service division was one of the ordinary sub-departments, like protocol or like regional service and something like that. And by the time there was the only person appointed there, and because of the criticality of the issue and because of the interest of international donor society to really finance these kind of undertakings, there were a number of propositions regarding civil service reform, project financing, etc., etc.
This is part two of the interview with Mr. Kipiani.
Yeah. So we were talking on criticality of civil service reform issue, and there was the TASIS, Technical Aid to Commonwealth of Independent State Organization, which financed, I guess, the first large-scale project in Georgia. It was civil service reform and training, and based on that, it lasted 3 years, and later it was regarded as a flagship project in Georgia because it was one of the most successful projects where 12 experts were trained, six on management and structural issues, and six on personal management issues. Together within that, within the frames of the same project, that training college for the civil servants was established, and the large-scale retraining launched. And when I'm talking on the large-scale training, I'm not saying some kind of direct training or targeted trainings. It was some general issues like what is the market economy, what are the general trends in public administration, what is the civil service, what are the models of international countries, etc. And not some kind of very target-specific trainings, yes, actually, because there was no assessment done preliminary, and that's why. But by the time, you know, it was quite successful and launched in 1996. And this staff, you know, tried to really evaluate the, by the time, current state of in public service. There was the structural ministries analyzed. There was a comparative analysis of the structure, you know, in terms of duplications, what are their mandates, how they're fulfilling their mandates and functions by the structures they're operating and this kind of stuff. So it lasted 3 years, and as a result of this, the Public Service Bureau, not as a small subdivision, but as a one of the serious departments within the State Chancellery again, had been established. I was one of the members.
When was it? When was the Public Service Bureau?
1998. I was one of the members of the structural civil service reform division within the project. And by the time, because of the working conditions and because of the salaries, low salaries, etc., a lot of people who were trained in the project, they rejected the proposal of START. But, you know, I couldn't reject the proposal because initially the person who took me to the project, you know, who was the head of the bureau, so I had some kind of moral obligations. And I started my activities there. And, you know, from 98 to 2002, I was working there. So the problem within that part was that the head of the Public Service Bureau was changed. Now he was downgraded to head of the one sub-department of the Public Service Bureau. And the head of Public Service Bureau was appointed another high official who, to tell you frankly, didn't understand what he didn't understand. Okay? And that's why, you know, it was some kind of arrangement when he was expecting us to generate as much expert information as possible, out of which he could, let's say, downsize that information, make some kind of abstracts, and then pass this abstract to his bosses to show that how clever he is.
When was he put in place? What year was this?
1998. Yeah, exactly. And the problem was that because of the bulk of experts rejected the proposal of being served within Public Service Bureau, just three of us had been remaining there, and the rest people, they were very good people, but had very little information about what they were just engaging with.
Where did the other people go? Who didn't stay within the Public Service Bureau?
You know, some people continued their studies and they're now living abroad and working abroad. You know, some people were recruited by private sector, by non-governmental organizations, etc., etc., or by projects. There were other projects because I told you that it was really very popular theme, public service reform, and a lot of donors had been in reading. So, this was the thing. But between the 1998 and 2002, you know, two times I switched to projects. It was a short-term project. And then returned to Public Service Bureau. And generally speaking, you know, there was a situation that what was the major problem regarding the civil service reform? There was no awareness by them top leadership what the public service reform is all about. This is problem, the major problem one. Proceeding from the problem number one, there was no involvement in developing the reform agenda for the public service reform. And the number three, which is also the results of the reasons number one and number two, it is that there was no ownership of the reforms. And when there is no ownership, there is no interest in even reading the recommendations being elaborated by other projects. And very often the results of the project had been remaining on the shelves. And feasibility of the project had been conditioned by the period the project lasted. Okay.
Yeah.
And by the time, you know, our activities were quite mechanical. We were just analyzing the regulations of different ministries And on a very technical level, we were monitoring whether there was open competitions and during the recruitment procedures, or how different clauses of the law on civil service had been fulfilled, and this kind of activities, yes? But it was really very quite mechanic approach and not approach in terms of the content of these exercises. Let's say, okay, we knew that in concrete ministries there was an open competition, and it was the people were recruited by open competition, but how this competition procedure had been administered, whether the tests they were using were valuable and reliable tests, or what kind of particular capabilities they were measuring. If they were measuring concrete capabilities, did these capabilities converge from concrete work requirements on which the vacancy was announced, and this kind of stuff. And whether the structure had been functioning properly in terms of efficiency and effectiveness. But you know, little by little, you know, the experience became to accumulate, and not the whole public service bureau, but some employees of it, you know, together with some short training, academic learning, let's say, and also visits to international countries. And of course, together with the staff that was earlier employed by the Public Service Bureau, you know, we organized informal, of course, something like think tanks, and we were applying for different projects because, you know, that the salaries that we were paid, it was really quite miserable.
So what was the Public Service Bureau? What was its role within the
government? So its role was to direct policy in public service sphere. So it's as you can see, you know, it's really very huge mandate and had a very broad coverage. But the problem was there was a dissonance between the mandate of the structure and its de facto foundation, because once again, the Public Service Bureau was one of the sub-departments of the State Chancellery, and what was the State Chancellery, no one will be able to tell it, because it was some kind of mix between President's administration and Government Chancellery. And, you know, everything there was performed not according to concrete and logical logical steps, but according to personal the department head's personal relationship with the president. Okay. So he was asking the president, could you give me this responsibility? President, okay, this is yours. Then other one would, okay, why did you give him this responsibility? Why did you give me this responsibility? Then the president was delegating this responsibility, etc. So it was a complete mess, yes? And by the way, the State Chancellor existed, I guess, over the 6 years by permanent, temporary regulation. Yeah. Its regulation was always temporary. Yeah? So in 2002, I went to Tokyo, to Japan, because there was the postgraduate study in policy studies universities. Known institute in Japan, and 1 year I wasn't here. And by the way, as soon as I arrived, during the next 10 days, the revolution happened. Yes.
So while you were in Tokyo.
No. Oh, when I returned, when I came back, the revolution happened. And can you imagine when I came back, I was appointed as the head of Public Service Bureau. Yes. Because I arrived somewhere in September, and the 1st November I was appointed as the head of Public Service Bureau. And then the revolution happened, and, you know, everything collapsed. Then, you know, I was invited again after the revolution happened as a head of Public Service Bureau, but very interesting reform had been done by the time. So the Public Service Bureau ceased its existence within the structure of the State Chancellery, and it had been found as the it was reorganized to the Public Service Council, headed by the president. By the way, it was the recommendations developed by the World Bank financed project, where three members of the council had been appointed by the cabinet of ministers, three by the parliament, and three by the president. Okay? So under the council, there was the Public Service Bureau, which was advisory body to the council, as well as the facilitated implementations of the decisions made by the council. So, and the secretary of the Public Service Council, who was elected out of nine, was at the same time fulfilling the obligations of the head of Public Service Bureau. So it was absolutely independent body, which was directly subordinated to the president.
Okay.
So.
So when were you appointed again as the head of the Public Service Bureau?
I don't remember exactly, but I guess it was somewhere in end of September of 2004.
Okay.
Maybe beginning of October, but okay. I don't exactly remember. Okay. And, you know, once again, because there was a revolutionary change here, and when the revolutionary government comes to power, you know, everybody are fired, everything what that was done earlier is rubbish. So everything was we should rebuild everything from again, and you know, this kind of stuff. Mm. And there was absolute call, because one thing should be one thing I would like to make clear, that during the Shevardnadze government, nevertheless, maybe the public service was not very efficient and high professional, but it was stable.
Yeah,
it literally was stable, and there was really a sense of stability when the person started to work in the civil service. Now the sense of stability was absolutely diminished during the new government came into power. And by the way, there was very interesting thing that when I was appointed, of course, I took from the shelves all the project documentation and recommendations. That was, by the way, elaborated by very clever people, both by international and domestic. And, you know, I tried to really organize some kind of strategic issue agenda for me, and assess that agenda in terms of feasibility. So which of the activities there would be acceptable for the new leadership. And you know, it was quite a top to bottom approach, because it really didn't make sense really to make some kind of mechanical changes on reconfigurating departments on the lower level without profound understanding of what kind of changes should be made, and what are the principles on which the new public service should be based. So when I'm talking on myself, of course I don't mean only myself, because around me they were the people from the project there that was in 1996, as well as some other practitioners and professionals with whom, you know, I had really a round table. It wasn't like a directive style of management that I was absorbing ideas from them and say that this might, no. It was really round table, it was really very participative decision making. And then, by the way, these people, they were not only formally, but I won several projects and recruited them as experts and they were participating. And let me tell you that, no, I will tell you later what kind of results we achieved, but you know, well, the major problems that I had there was, by the way, the same. The awareness of some kind of gradual and long-term and comprehensively elaborated reform exercise was low. Because what the new government could be characterized, it was really a very ad hoc approach by dealing with the problems that they were facing. So, and there was some kind of problem that, can you imagine, the public administration was very obsolete, I mean the system.
Yeah.
So they were managing the obsolete system and addressing the issues that were facing either at the moment or they would have faced in the future. So we had a problem that modern management was addressing the tomorrow's issues by yesterday's structures.
Okay.
Yeah?
So before you, how were you appointed? Who made the decision to appoint you? And who had the authority to appoint you to the Public Service Board?
Yeah, I was appointed by the President.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the President still retains that power?
What?
The President still has that power to appoint the public?
No, the President still is the head of Public Service Council. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But he's not very much involved, by the way. And you know, the idea of that was that there were a lot of initiatives from the parliament. Also, there were initiatives from the Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Economy regarding public administration things. And that's why we gathered all these people within one council to discuss the issues. Yes, and of course, when the representative from the parliament, an MP, participates in discussions, that what the discussion has been made, of course, this discussion will be much better implemented in the parliament. Yes, because if you are developing some kind of reform without participation of parliament, parliament will also say that they are independent branch of power and they're not subordinate to recommendations made by other branch of power.
Okay.
Yeah? So this was the idea, yes? To centralize public administration reform. So there was the really issue whether we should go by decentralization in reforming the whole public service or centralization, yes? To tell you in advance, I know the merits of decentralized approach, but once again, decentralized approach is very good in developed country, but when you are in the process of transition, in the process of development, when there are a lot of initiatives and when there are a lot of donors and when different donors are bringing different principles, different models, you know, if somebody wouldn't align all the recommendations according to some kind of mutually accepted model of the civil service, yes, we'll receive chaos. That's why there was an attempt really to centralize, not centralize the money spending or procurement, etc. in the public administration reform, no, but to centralize the concepts. So, because you know what kind of system we had? Let's say when the German technical assistance called GTZ was financing the Ministry of Justice, they were bringing the German system.
Okay.
When Ministry of Economy, there was a project financed by British BFID, let's say, they were bringing British expert and already German and British, you know, are absolutely not interchangeable models.
Okay.
And if we were going to look at the general public service and really to perform the feasible studies of the whole public administration, but it would be at least very hard, yes, to somehow to reconcile between the different models and create the common picture. Okay, that's why you know we try to somehow to centralize this, And being centralized developed a unified approach of public administration reform. Then, according to that approach, really develop what I said, awareness, involvement, and ownership of the stakeholders, yes? And then train the staff of the ministry, and of course, within that, we would have very big savings, because where, let's say, there is the whole public service composed of, let's say, 6,000 people, yes, when you are trying to, based on the priorities, yes, admitted by the government, to create the basis, or different donors are approaching different organizations, huge money is being spent, and these recommendations are remained on the shelves, yes? So we try to make a pool of financing, of course not limiting donors, because and the donors would finance, and it would be their project, but the project be undertaken according to unified standards. Not the Georgian, of course, the Western, but even in the West you got different models, yes? But it should be very close to the Georgian mentality. Because we're saying that Georgians are Europeans, so mentality we have the same, but I guess the pace of the development is slightly different, yes? Mildly speaking. So,
so when this project started, the Public Service Council was created and the Public Service Bureau was changed,
yes,
after the revolution, what were the main challenges facing the civil service? Could you describe briefly what the problems with the civil service were?
The question, no, what was the problem? Everything was a problem. Okay? So, there was no some kind of conceptual approaches toward managing the non-profit governmental organization. Yes? Because, first of all, if you take a very mechanic analysis, there were different organizations who had the same mandate, okay? Who had the same functions, who had the number of staff, and they didn't know why they have this number of staff. What was conditioning this amount of staff needed, let's say, to perform the function? So I can tell that there is one very interesting thing that there is very known family name, Bendukidze. He was he was invited as the Minister of Economic Development, and later, I don't know why, but he was appointed as a State Minister on Reform Coordination Issues, by the way, whose deputy was Mr. Lijala.
Yeah.
And, you know, we already had created, you know, some kind of duplications, because State Minister on the Reform Coordination Issues and Public Service Bureau, which mandate was public service reform, yes? You know, it's really very artificial division. So what is the policy reform issue and what is the public service reform? It's one the same, yes? So that's why I know that there were some kind of frictions between the two started to emerge, because initially, later we managed to collaborate, of course, and to cooperate. But, you know, it was very hard, because Mr. Bendukidze had a private background, businessman background, yes? And he was looking at the civil service from the perspective he had an experience of managing privately owned enterprise. We looked at the public service not from that perspective, because for us it was a much broader view on the public administration. And we had really very serious political policy clashes because Mr. Bendukidze and his apparatus was in favor of, let's say, New Zealand model, where ultra-right people were managing the New Zealand. And you know, it was really, the civil service was minimum, and it was, you know, very liberal system where you could hire civil servants by 1 year contract or by 6 month contract, or I don't know. So there was that. We were saying that no, the civil service shouldn't be governed based on the principle of the business administration. They were saying that no, they, what difference does it make whether you are managing ministry or you're managing the huge enterprise? Yes? And we were saying, and by the way, we performed analysis of both models, so-called career model within the civil service and contract-based model.
The public service bureau carried out an analysis.
Yeah, of course, because I had a project, not one. I had many projects, and one of the projects was elaborating new public service code. Why code? Because today, if you want to run, let's say, some kind of reform exercise, yes, you are starting with the public service law. Then you're going to loan, if you're working in police, loan police, then you're going to some presidential decree, then you're, so there are many documents which are regulating one of the same procedures in different organizations. So the idea of code was that to unify all the documentation and to have one legal document, yes, which is, despite whether it is prosecutor office, whether it's military service, etc., some kind of general and common procedures be regulated by this one law. But and if they were very organization-specific things, like the militaries who are shooting, yes, they would be, let's say, some, this small part would have been remained with their specific regulation. Because, once again, if you take a loan police and civil service, yes? In the civil service, your law, you got that this, for the policemen, these and these laws are extant. All right. But all the other things are the same. In the prosecutor office, these and these and these, they are extant, but these procedures, so, and we wanted to make a clear structure, what regulations are common for the whole civil service, and which one was the reliever organization specific. The idea of code came from these considerations, yes?
And who was involved in these considerations?
I will tell you. So this was the UNDP finance project. It was $100,000 project. And of course, everybody knows that in order to write the code, five people are absolutely enough, even two. But, you know, I recruited 14. One was representative from the prosecutor office, two from the parliamentary committee, one legal issues and other procedural issues, because procedural issues committee is very actively involved in this kind of stuff. And by the way, one of the people whom I would like you could meet, it would be Khatuna Gogoluchuli. She's head of procedural issues committee. So Supreme Court, of course. It was also, I don't remember, by the way, it was 14, meaning that all these 14 experts who at least were expected to communicate the general ideas discussed in the round table. So first of all, we didn't start with directing the code. First of all, we started with strategic intentions. What kind of systems we see, okay? What should be the structure of the public service? How these different factions should be regulated? What there should be their interconnection? What are their peculiarities in different spheres of the public administration, yes? And what is what should the model be? Should it be contract based? Should it be career based? Because in different model settings, you know, the proceedings would be absolutely different. And by the way, the first very serious clash between state minister, not me, but the others, let's say in the parliament, was that in the parliament they were in favor of the career based model, but the state minister was in favor, as I told you, of the contract-based model. And, you know, can you imagine that during the several months, you know, I took them to outside Tbilisi to five-star hotels in ski resorts or even in sea resorts, yes, in summer, but they could not come to some kind of consensus. And it really was the clash of ideas.
What do you think it was? Ideas underlining this clash. Primarily, it was that they had different ideas. It wasn't that they hoped to gain. Were there any things that they hoped to gain from the different models?
No. We're not talking of gains, but you know, once again, Mr. Vendukidze had his own view based on his business administration experience. Let's say head of procedural issues committee had different view based on her experience in civil service.
Right.
But no one would gain nothing from that, yes? Okay. Maybe there was the competition of ideas and who would win there.
Yeah.
And maybe this kind of stuff was there, but no kind of gains. Mm-hmm. Yes, and of course, one gain certainly would be that this is very political profit, yeah, because this is very huge thing. And if you are the author on this kind of reform, yeah, so this is very good benefit for the politician. So, and you know, it was several months, as I said, that we couldn't come to conclusion. And what I was saying, I said, I'm the head of public service bureau, not politician. So you decide what kind of system you want. And then, of course, I will develop the system into concrete details. As a matter of fact, they couldn't reconcile between each other, and that's why, you know, because I had a very limited time, because the project lasted for the concrete period of time, I started to develop the code, and by the way, it is developed and already translated. But then, later, I don't know why, but I was asked to leave the post. And but nobody knows. If you go and ask somebody why Mr. Kupiani went, because a lot of people called me and told me that why you were leaving. I said no, I was called and asked, yes, to leave.
So who asked you to leave?
It was the former head of President's administration, Georgi Arveladze. And I'm sure the president wasn't aware about that. I'm sure, because he was very much involved in these territorial integrity issues and this kind of 98% of his working time is dedicated to that.
And when was this?
It was on 2006 December.
December 2006.
Yes. And
sorry, just before you go on, and Arveladze, was he on the
head of administration, president's administration?
Okay, so he okay, and was he on the public service council?
You know, I had a proposition that he would be deputy head of the council as the head of the state chancellery, but this amendment wasn't made.
Okay.
I have something left to say, but okay. I'm trying to say now that. When I left, then 1 year, there was no head of the bureau appointed. And then was appointed this Lashon Geladze, who was, by the way, from the camp of Kacha Vendukidze.
Okay.
And, of course, all the code that was written, okay, had been reorganized and changed according to the Vendukidze's ideas. But what I had told you, if you remember, the Khatuna Gogorishvili, who was the head of the Procedural Issues Committee, she exactly remained the code that we created, Maybe some slight changes had been made there. And now you got now the two draft code. One, which is backed by MP, head of the Procedural Issues Committee, and another backed by State Minister of Reform Coordination Issues. But there is one very interesting thing, that this State Minister was fired. And now, okay, the head of Public Service Bureau who was backed, and of course the code which was backed by this person, Mr. Bender Kinsey, yes, had have very little chances that it will be adopted, because when because the Khatuna Gogorishvili now intends to proceed with the created code and to pass through the parliament. So why I mentioned that, because the translation of that code, English version, I guess I have somewhere. If you want, I can send to you the code which was created now.
So who fired the state minister?
President.
The president removed.
Yeah, it well, maybe I don't know, but maybe I don't want to be, you know, not very clear, but you know, I don't know, because it was I think it's my personal opinion that the state minister was fired because it was the opposition's requirement, or because he didn't have very good relations with the prime minister. I don't know. You know, the true reason I really don't know. But with de facto situation is that he's not the state minister. And no, I'm sorry. After state minister, he was the head of the government chancellery.
Okay.
And now he was fired as the head of the government chancellery. Yes.
And is there still a state minister for reform?
No.
This the position has been removed.
Yeah, it's been yes. So this is generally what kind of issues we had. At the same time, I would like to mention that during how we started the Public Service Bureau, when I was appointed as the head of Public Service, we had even no premises. Okay, and by the time the Minister of Economic Development, I knew him very well, and he gave me one big room. And in the one room, we were sitting, all our staff.
How many staff did you have?
I had...
Let me start the interview again. This is part three of the interview with Carlos Kipiani.
Yes, so... but I would say that the model that the opposite camp was proposing, you know, it had some kind of rationality, of course. And of course, it wasn't regulated by some kind of formal document. Because what model we were in favor of, it was the strict regulation of all the procedures, etc., etc., etc. Now, what was the positive things of the model that they were proposing is that the manager had absolute flexibility in managing organization without being forced to obey or allow his or her action according to concretely elaborated rules. And maybe this is a very good thing, because this flexibility gives leeway of effective management, of, I don't know, targeting. That there is even one term that system is not the function oriented, but system is the problem oriented. Yes,
yeah.
And this kind of stuff. And this is a very good thing. And of course, if the organization has reached the pace of very efficient, etc., it can change to this model. Yes, when the everybody are working based on the concrete contract, which has concrete terms. Yes, which gives concrete stimulus in order to upgrade their skills and work very hard, and not, let's say, have guaranteed job for the rest of his or her life and not doing it. So, of course, they were very good things in that model, but their model had been, as I understand, was based on the assumption that, number one, that all the managers of the organization would be very good managers. I don't think that this is right because in Georgia we don't have some kind of political secretary and permanent secretary. So when the permanent secretary is the professional manager, has a very good experience in managing organization, etc., yes? And political secretary changes according to political changes, yes? And this person stays with his or her staff, yes? In that case, yes. But here we got the minister who is in charge of managing the organization. Mm-hmm. And very often the very good good politicians are not very often a good managers. Meaning that if we will delegate the responsibilities and duties of full management without any formalized procedures, it means that organization can collapse. By the way, a very good example of that is former Minister of Foreign Affairs, Mrs. Salome Zurabishvili, because as the politician, he is very good, and I would say that she is excellent, but as the administrator, she is even not the zero, minus something, yes? This is one thing. Another thing, in the business sector, you are managing your own money, yes? In the public sector, you are managing the taxpayers' money. So when you're managing your own money, of course, you can do anything with them. And what kind of structure you want, what kind of people you want, how would like to recruit this staff, etc., yes. But when, you know, it's public and publicly owned organization and publicly owned money, I don't think that one should be given the authority and right to manage this money according to his or her own opinion. So, and you know, this kind of stuff, was on discussions, yes, because all the other things, of course, we didn't invent anything, and everything, how we knew, how we saw what kind of changes should be done is within that code that you can just take a read, yes? I'm just speaking on a very broad issues. One thing that I also would like to mention is that very interesting project. It was World Bank Finance project. Very strange, but I don't remember its name. But, it was... So it was the very broad project which encapsulated four organizations. It was Ministry of Finance, Treasury, Branch of Control, and Public Service Bureau. It was four organizations, and you know there was the attempt, which by the way is being implemented, to make, just a moment, oh, I forgot that. Medium-term expenditure framework. Yes. To adopt that the Ministry of Finance based on concrete economic forecast or trend to plan the budget.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have already moved to that system of budgetary planning. And there was one of the component, civil service, yes? And when you're planning what kind of finances the civil service will need or what are the major reform initiatives, how much money we need for that, you need one huge base with a lot of information within it, structural information, when, let's say, you can give concrete question or concrete criteria and the system will give you information on that, yes? And we were one of the components, and by the way, on the Public Service Bureau, I negotiated the $2.1 million contract. It was really not the database, how it is often called, but it was some kind of management information system for the civil service. The idea there was that, first of all, to formalize all the job description, to digitalize job description within the civil service, yes? Before the digitalization, of course, we knew some kind of reform exercises in all the ministries in terms for improvement, the structures of ministries, not, let's say, by the Public Service Bureau, no. but by the organizations themselves, yes, but by coordination with each other, because we were trying to create some kind of common system of the jobs to create one hierarchy. Let's say like even the World Bank has, yes, or any other organization has, yes, because each layer in the management has its own code. And when you're saying that I'm this person working on this layer, so you exactly know what kind of where you are at the moment, yes? Try to create this codification, and this codification was impossible without improving and founding the structures. And of course, when founding the structures, new job descriptions should be written, and then, of course, detailized, yes? and then, of course, there would be several fields which would describe the competence of the concrete employee, okay? His or her professional skills and personal skills. And by the way, we had this kind of technology brought from England. There is so-called SHL Management Center, and we had some kind of not very good business ties with them. This SHL is Savill and Holsworth Limited. This is the London-based international consulting company which specializes on psychometric testing, psychodiagnostic testing, as well as developing the job descriptions. And the contractors are for Milan, Nokia, General Electric, so very serious company. And we're trying to use the experience in order to adopt this new methodology here. And you know, we were developing this model, but it is in the bureau. And if you will ask Mr. Mkeladze, maybe they should have remained the description of this database, because we already had the tender documentation. So my component was the foremost out of these three. Okay. Because we exactly knew what we had to be doing, and we were developing our tender recommendation, but by the assistance, of course, of the World Bank consultancy. So what I'm saying, I'm not saying that I'm ignorant. No, it's just it's the result of a thorough analysis of international experience, as well as involvement of the World Bank consultancy who were performing these projects in other countries too. And you know, this database, conceptually, we created this database. Yes, I mean, theoretically, virtually, yes. Now we had the money and we were ready really to go forward, yes. But this was exactly the time when I was asked, because I don't know by which reasons, but you know, as you can see, I'm not joined the opposition. I'll say no. I don't know. Maybe I deserve that, or maybe I didn't deserve, but I don't know. But one thing is clear, that what I managed, you know, by the end of my headship, you know, I managed to really from zero to create organization which had its premises, more or less trained staff, yes. It was the best of all, but more or less trained staff. Four serious projects undertaken, which created preconditions for further improvements, yes. And $2.5 million on my account, which was zero. And it wasn't the budget money, it was the donor money, yes. And now I don't know, but the problem is, even with today's the Public Service Bureau, is that, you know, top leadership does not give you the very clear and concrete orienteer what kind of civil service they want. And very often, it is the situation that it is remained on the level of ad hoc approaches by different ministers. By the way, one very interesting phrase that Mr. Lejao is also laughing is that there was the Council of Europe's project GRECO, and they were their representatives, and it was the meeting within the Office of the State Minister on reform coordination issues. And you know, there was one girl, I remember her face. She asked Mr. Bendukidze, what is your holistic view regarding public administration reform? And Bendukidze was really very clever No, I think we don't have such kind of clever ministry right now, but it's my personal opinion in terms of economic vision. And he thought, said, my holistic view regarding public organization reform is that I have no holistic view regarding public administration reform. Yes. It's very serious, very famous phrase, yes, by the way, everybody loves. That he was saying that we are at a moment of ad hoc intervention and not the same kind of planned and long-term directed gradual reforming exercises. It was really his view.
Okay. And were you trying to develop a, when you were at as the head of the Public Service Bureau, were you trying to develop a more long-term
vision? What we were working, it was really a long-term plan for the civil service reform. We didn't write the plan, but we also knew who would finance what. And we knew that where we had the shortages of money, and we were already working to fill that shortage, and not generally. We would like the money for public administration reform. No, we exactly knew what we were doing. We exactly knew what donor would finance what, and what was the short of finance.
And this was with the Public Service Bureau?
Yes.
Okay. And you didn't develop an official plan?
Yes, it is developed, and it should be remained there. You know, I didn't brought with me. Of course, I copied all the documents to me, but there is such kind of document there, elaborate, of course.
Okay. And was that supported by the Public Service Council? Was it approved by any senior political body?
As I remember, yes. Yes, because, you know, when we proposed activities for the financing, of course, donor created some kind of endorsement of concrete recommendations by the government, that the government needs that. Without that, nobody would give you even penny, yes.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, before we were interrupted a little bit earlier, I was asking about the structure of the Public Service Bureau. How many staff did you have?
Oh, I had 28.
28.
So I had there three divisions. No, literally. So Division 1, there was Civil Service Reform Division. Division number 2, it was Personnel Management and Personal Management Division, which was coordinating the activities of Personal Management Department of the All Civil Service. There was also Civil Servants Training Department, third one. And it was Financial Department, okay. Logistical Department.
Yeah. And you said that when you left, you had four projects, one of which was the database, right?
One of them was World Bank project. Another was I had already won the project with USAID. It was $1 million project. And
what was that for specifically?
It was for the, if I remember properly, no, it was 3 years ago. By the way, that project operates at the moment. How I don't know. You know, it was the project, USAID project, to enhance the capacities of the Public Service Bureau.
Okay.
And there we had exactly the propositions, but I don't think that if I would be, you know, in a position, I'm really one of the most feasible propositionists to pursue some kind of twinning projects, because to take two staff, let's say, for this department, and send them for 2 months or 3 months there, and take stuff from there and put here.
In the U.S.
It does matter, yeah. In U.S. etc. It's any country which has very much developed this kind of stuff. Because, you know, 1 week training, it's nothing. It's really very hard work, as both theoretical as well as practical experience. Because by taking those experts here that would work not only on recommendations but would be involved in solving these issues, you know, this is one thing, yeah? And these people who would go there, learn, and gain the practice, you know, it's a very good thing.
And so what were the other two projects?
So actually it was three, UNDP project. One was introduction of modern personal management methods. And by the way, it created very good documentation. We had the reports and everything. One was public service code, and one was the first, which I gained from UNDP for procuring furniture, modern technologies, conditioners, and this kind of stuff.
So, let me have a look. So, just do you have anything else to add? I suppose I'm running out of time a little bit, but
no, nothing.
I mean, are any of these being continued? These projects, were they carried through by the Public Service Bureau after you left?
You know, but when I left, you know, these UNDP projects were finished. The World Bank project was ceased. And USAID, it started its operation, but I don't really know the state and status of the activities.
Okay.
And by the way, one thing that I would now needs to expertise from Estonia have come and they have negotiated with the head of Public Service Bureau that they would like to take 15 civil servants to Tallinn to show them how this database operates. But, you know, maybe this is good intervention, but it will be just a trip to Tallinn, you know, it's nothing. So that's why I think that now we are at the stage that much more massive interference by even attracting foreign expertise here or really sending here some formal stuff there to really work 24 hours a day and study, because in Georgia, you know, everybody are considering themselves as a president. If you ask anybody, they know everything. The problem is that they know very little regarding the subject, and developing this is very critical.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your time.